In Billy Graham's biography, Just As I Am, he tells a story about he and Ruth being in the Caribbean ministering. One day, one of the richest men in the world invited the Grahams to come to his place for lunch. The Grahams arrived at this unbelievable mansion, and they quickly were invited to the table to have lunch. Throughout their lunch, they were very perplexed because the man who invited them had barely said a word. This man simply looked down at his plate and just, he kind of looked disgruntled. Finally, after quite some time of silence, he broke the ice and he said these words, "I must confess something. I am the most miserable man in the world." He went on to tell the Grahams about how he had planes and helicopters that could take him anywhere in the world, how that he had been married many times and he had traveled through the world and had more experiences than most people, had enough money that he could do really anything he wanted. And yet with everything he had, he felt miserable. The Grahams spent some time pointing him to Jesus and then prayed with him and shared about where true happiness comes from. Later on that same day, they were retiring in their cottage that had been provided for them on this ministry trip. And they got a knock at the door, and there was a 75-year-old retired Baptist minister who came by to see them. This man was full of life, full of energy, madly in love with Jesus. And they began to talk and share a little bit about their lives, and they discovered that this man was a widower, and he would spend most of his time in retirement looking after his two invalid sisters. After some time of talking, the man finally broke out and shared these words. He said, "I don't have 2 pounds to my name, but I am the happiest man on the island." Absolutely incredible. One man with everything who's not happy at all. Another man who barely has anything, and yet he is full of life and happiness. Friends, most of us are trying to find out how to be happy. We spend so much time looking for things to improve our life, to make us happy. Have this experience, or if we could own this one thing, if we could have more clothes or more money in the bank, if we could just have more of things, then maybe we would be happy. But the truth is that many of the things that we're directed towards simply leave us empty. The psalmist talks about this, and I want to point you to Psalm chapter 1 as we begin our summer playlist series. Psalm 1 says this, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction." The psalmist starts off this psalm, and he says this word, blessed. Blessed. And this word, we think it means that maybe God's favor is upon the person, or that they've got some kind of benefit. But the word actually means, oh, how happy. And the psalmist is talking about an individual who's figured out how to live a happy life. This word blessed means, it speaks of an intent exclamation. It's not just, oh, how happy. It's, oh, how happy. There's a fullness. There's a secret of happy living that has been discovered. And the psalmist lays out the picture for happy living. Although the psalm is not inclusive, it doesn't provide everything that helps us to live a happy life, I believe it does lay the foundations for you and I to live the happy life. So let's look at what it takes to live the happy life. The first thing I think that we need to do if we're going to live a happy life is we need to follow the right people. I don't know about you, but as a kid, my mom would always warn me about who I was hanging around. She wanted me to hang around good people, people that would make me better, people who didn't get in trouble, people who didn't use bad language, people who weren't doing things that the Bible spoke against. She was always trying to direct me towards good people. After all, there's a saying that we all know, and it's this, "Show me your friends, and I will show you your future." The problem with this mentality is that it kind of leads to a withdrawal mentality. This idea that if we are around somebody who may not be good, somebody who may be sinful, somebody who may do something that is contrary to the Word of God, that we should probably back off and that we should withdraw from them. And many of you throughout your life, you've been told to stay away from anybody who does anything wrong. It almost seems like the psalmist is saying this because he says these words. Don't walk with the wicked. Don't stand with sinners. Don't sit with mockers. The essence of the teaching, though, is not about our relationship. It's about the influence of these people on our lives. You see, there's a digression in the psalm from journeying with somebody, where you're walking, to joining conversation, where you're standing. And then the psalmist talks about sitting with mockers. And this idea of sitting is always referring to the ability to teach. When one sat down, they would teach somebody else. And what the psalmist is alluding to is an individual who's become so comfortable, who's become so influenced by wicked people, that they've actually sat down and they are now exercising the same words. They're exercising the same behavior. They're influencing others in the way of wickedness. It's no wonder that 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." It's interesting. A social psychologist, Dr. David McClellan from Harvard, said that the habitual association with people is called our reference group. The people that we are always with, that couple that you may hang out with, that individual who's your best friend, the person who we are with constantly is considered our reference group. And Dr. McClellan says that 95% of your positive and your negative decisions will be determined by that reference group. The influence on our lives. This is not about relationship. This is about the influence, the person's ability to sway us. And every single one of us will have people in our lives that have the ability to sway us towards good things or sway us towards bad things. Friends, if you want to be happy, you must follow the right people. The right people will influence us to do what God wants for our lives. That's the key. It's not about having a relationship with a good person or a bad person. It's not about having a relationship with a Christian or a non-Christian. After all, Jesus talked about being the salt of the earth. What the psalmist is saying is that we need to find people that we can allow to influence our lives towards the things of God. He's encouraging people to find individuals who will propel us into a happy state by going after the things that God has for our life. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to speak in the Maritimes at their family camp. It was a Saturday afternoon, and I didn't know what I was going to do. People were just kind of chilling out for the day, and there were no programs, and I was ready to go home. I was at the end of the camp. And so the director said to me that he was unable to take me out anywhere or do anything with me, but I could borrow his car. And he encouraged me to go into Moncton just to look around, even if it was just to get a coffee. Now, friends, the truth is, if I'm in a brand new place, I can get lost very quickly. And so I began to think about that, and I went to the worship leader, Chad Nickerson, and I said, "Hey, Chad, would you come into town with me?" And in fact, I actually asked it this way. I said, "Hey, what are you doing today?" And he says, "Well, I'm not doing anything." I said, "Would you be interested in coming into town with me?" And his words back to me were, "Do you want me to come into town, or do you need me to come into town?" I kind of chuckled. I said, "Well, actually, a little bit of both. The truth is that I'm an extrovert, and I love hanging out with people. I really want you to come and hang out with me for the afternoon. But the second thing is I actually do need you, because I get lost very quickly, and I would love for you to be there just to make sure I don't get lost." So Chad joined me, and we made our way into Moncton and began to look around. There were times I was about to turn down a certain street, and Chad would say, no, don't go that way. That's going to lead you to a spot that you don't want to go. Or, "Chad, I'd like to get a coffee." And he'd say, "Hey, just go over here." Now, I'm driving the car, but Chad's in the passenger seat, and he is influencing every direction that I go. He's not in control of the steering wheel. He's simply directing my paths to the places that I really want to go. They are going to make this the best trip possible. I tell you that story because that's the picture that the psalmist is trying to paint, that we are to find the right people in our life that will be in the passenger seat. They're not the ones who take control of the steering wheel. They're not individuals who just take over your life, but they are people who will constantly direct you to the places that God wants you to go. They are the people that have the greatest influence on your life. If you're going to live the happy life, you have got to find people who are going to direct you in the best ways. When I was a teenager, I started to look for people that would help me out. You see, my mom and dad had split up when I was a teenager, and so I needed to know what it was like to find a godly husband. I didn't watch my dad and my mom together and see how they related. And so I had to go find people who would show me what it was like to be a godly husband towards my future wife, so I could begin to learn, so that when I got married, I could have a happy marriage. I needed to find the right person. I wanted to be a person of prayer, and I didn't know how to pray, and so I had to find people who would propel me into praying, people I could watch, people I could talk to, people who would direct me in the ways that God wanted me to pray. I wanted to be a person who would witness. And so I found people who would teach me about that. I wanted to know how to study the Bible. I found people. I was constantly looking for the right people who would propel me into the places that God wanted for me. The psalmist starts off by the double negative: don't do this. Don't walk with these people. Don't stand with these people. Don't sit with these people. And he's not saying pull out. He's not saying don't be a light to them. He's saying don't let them influence you. Find the right people for your life if you want happiness. Friends, let me say this to you today. Just because you hang out with Christians doesn't mean that you found the right people. You see, there are people that will either help you get better or keep you the way you are. And I'm encouraging you, if you want the happiest life, find people who will propel you to do better things. Find people who will propel you into the things that God has for you. Don't find people who just say yes to everything that you are and everything that you do. People who love you but will always propel you into what God has for you. Find people who will cause you to pray more. Find people who will cause you to witness more. Find people who will cause you to be more passionate about Jesus. Find people who will cause you to be more missional. Find people in your life who will help you to go after what God wants for you, because that's where you will find the greatest happiness. Find the right people. Number two, psalmist wants us to focus on the right information. He says that we should delight in God's law. Friends, this is more than just reading your Bible. You see, so many of us pick up our Bibles and we just say, I'm going to read through and do my devotions. And we check it off like a religious task. But what the psalmist is saying is that we are to delight in the Word of God. And this word delight means a firm adherence, just continuously going to God's Word. But then he says that we are to meditate on it day and night. And this word meditate means to groan or mutter or muse. The very essence of it is this: it is a dull sound from within that comes from searching and thinking upon what we've just read. Have you ever been asked a question that you hadn't really thought about? Hey, Jeff, who do you think is the smartest person in the church? And I might go, that sound, that audible element is me reflecting, is me thinking, is me meditating on the question. And what the psalmist is saying is that when we are to go to the Word of God, we're not just to read it. I mean, friends, that's important, but there's much, much more. There is an intentionality about God's Word. Focus on what He is saying. Beginning of this week, I got a negative correspondence. And I began to read through it early in the morning. And I don't get a whole lot of negative correspondence, but that on Monday I did. And I got to tell you that as much as I try to have the brave face and let things just fall off my shoulders, when I initially get those type of things, It hurts. It stings. And I remember sharing it with Ainsley and telling her about it. She told me not to worry about it. Later that morning, I received a text from her. It was an absolutely incredible text. She not only spoke words of life to me, she told me the things that she saw in me, things that I knew were true. And she just doused me in this text with life. What's so interesting, though, as the day continued on, I didn't focus a whole lot on her text. I mean, in the moment, I was just wonderful, and I responded back, and I thought about it, and it really did touch my heart. But as the day went on, I just kind of forgot about her words, and I got focused on the negative. I spent too much of that Monday thinking about the negative content of the correspondence. Friends, I don't know about you, but that's kind of the way I am in life at times. I spend so much time floating across the things that bring me life. I spend so much time, you know, going to the Word and seeing something that should really breathe life into me, but I just kind of float across it. But then the things that are negative, the worries, the concerns, the things of life that really suck the life out of me, the things that take away my happiness, that's where my mind goes most often. The psalmist is trying to say that if we want to experience happiness, we've got to stop floating across the Ainslie text. We've got to stop floating across the Word of God. We've got to get into the Word of God. We not just to touch it, not just to just read it, not just to examine it just for a religious task, but to get it into us and make it a focus of our life. It's like this. A man once looked out a window at his garden, and he saw the various flowers. And as he was looking out at the garden, he saw a butterfly come and land on one of the flowers, stayed for a couple seconds, and then it flew off. A short while later, there was a botanist in the area, and the botanist came by the flowers and began to examine them with a microscope and began to take notes in a journal and wrote down everything that he was learning for a couple hours. And then he saw a bee. The bee came and flew into the depths of the flower, to the very center. It went down deep. And that bee stayed there for a little while. And after it had extracted the pollen and it had extracted all that it needed to produce honey, it flew away. When it comes to the Word of God, sometimes we are like the butterfly and we just kind of float. We touch it for a couple seconds, and then we move on. We read the positive text, and then we move on. Sometimes we're like the botanist, and we study it academically. We pull up the commentaries, and we get deep, and we go, I've got a good understanding of this. And yet it still doesn't bring us the happiness we need. What the psalmist is saying is that we need to be like the bee. We need to go into the depth of the Scripture. We need to get into that Scripture and go deep down and then begin to think about it and reflect upon it and ponder it and meditate on it and let it become the focus so that every other negative goes to the wayside and the Word of God, the truth, the right information gets into our head and into our heart because the Word of God brings life to us. You see, friends, we are not just to float across Scripture, checking off the religious task of the day, but we are to read the Bible. We're to dig into the Bible. We're to chew it and go over it over and over again. We're to meditate on it. It needs to be in our minds all day long because the enemy is going to fill your mind with negative things. The pressures of life are going to fill your mind with negative things. And you can be consumed like I was on Monday with just one negative thing. But God's Word is like Ainslie's text, and it's the thing that brings us life. And he's saying, well, you have got to get focused on the right things that meditate on the Word of God. You know, that research shows that every day, we are exposed to about 5,000 ads through TV, through magazines, and driving down the street, through the internet, through our phones, whatever it may be, 5,000 ads. That isn't even just the text messages you receive. That doesn't include the audible communication. That doesn't involve all the other types of communication that there are. And friends, in the midst of all the communication we get, it is so easy to just open our Bibles in the morning, read the passage, say, we've done our job, and move on, and then allow all the wrong communication to get into our mind. Allow all the other information to get in our mind. The psalmist is saying, you want to find happiness? Delight yourself by meditating on the Word of God, by getting it into you, get deep into it, focus on the right thoughts. The last thing that will produce happiness in our lives is pursuing the right outcomes. The psalmist talks about how that if we will find the right people and if we'll focus on the right thoughts, that we will be like a tree planted by the water. And what he's saying here is that we need to pursue the right outcomes. You see, a happy person is like a tree planted by the water. In Bible times, when it was very arid, trees just couldn't be planted wherever. There was so little water in so many parts of the land that if an individual was going to plant a tree, they would need to find a water source, a small stream, a little brook, and they would plant that tree there because they knew that if they planted it there, that the tree would naturally grow its roots down deep, so deep so that it could reach into the water source, the source of life. And what would take place is because those roots were down so deep that there would be great stability for that tree. And because the water was coming through those roots, that tree would be able to produce fruit. The location ensured the right outcomes. Let me tell you this. The happy person will be intentional about planting his or her life in a place that will produce the right outcomes. You want to be happy? Plant your life in the place that will give you the best outcomes. What does that mean? That means plant your life in a place that will allow you to produce fruit, not to be a consumer. You see, our society says you will only be happy once you consume this product. You'll be happy once you consume this experience. You'll be happy once you consume this and consume this. But the Bible says you'll be happy when you produce, when something from your life is grown to give to other people. Incredible story of Adoniram Judson, who had just graduated from Bible college, and he received the call to a prominent church in Boston to be the assistant pastor. His mom was so delighted because it would mean that Adoniram would not need to leave the area, could live at home, the family could be together, and he would have this very prominent position that would be somewhat lucrative for the role that he was about to take on. Adoniram responded by saying these words, "My work is not here. God is calling me beyond the seas. To stay here, even to serve God in his ministry, I feel I would be only partial obedience, and I could not be happy in that." You see, he wasn't about convenience. He wasn't about what he could get. It wasn't about being around family or a great position or money that he would make. It was about what he could give. And Adoniram Judson got rid of this position, said no to this position, chose to go to Burma as a missionary. And because of his life, 50,000 converts came about in the various ministries and the churches that he planted. And his influence became worldwide. His life was used to produce fruit. Friends, listen to me for a second. You were designed to produce fruit. You were designed to be a fruit bearer. The outcome of your life is to produce fruit. And if you choose to consume through life, to focus on just consuming things, you will miss out on true happiness because you were designed to produce fruit. Plant your life in places that gives to other people, that allows your life to be multiplied and people benefit from your life. Don't seek out just to receive the benefits of somebody else's fruit. Second thing about a tree is that not only is it planted by the water to produce fruit, but there's stability. You see, stability is a place where leaves don't wither. The outcome is achieved by being near the life source. And the Bible says in the psalm that the ungodly are like chaff where it's blown everywhere. The image that the psalmist is trying to use is a stability in every circumstance. You see, friends, happiness is not situational. Happiness occurs when we are constantly connected to the source. Let's assume that this little glass is your life. And it's just been filled from this bottle of water. It's been filled with happiness from the money you make and the job you have and the trip you just took and the new car you just bought and the experiences of life. And you filled it and you go, man, I am so happy. Everything's fine because, I mean, you're right at the brim. In fact, you can probably get just a little bit more in, so let's just have one more experience, and maybe let's buy some new clothes, and oh my goodness, we're so happy, we're right to the brim. And we think, man, my life is so good. But what happens is In life, there are winds and there are rocky places that sometimes we go through. And we begin to walk along and the wind comes and we find ourselves rocking back and forth and happiness starts to spill out of our lives. I'm sure Will's going to be really happy to clean this up afterwards. But the more the wind comes and the more the rocky situations, the more the difficulties, the more the glass goes back and forth and the water gets spilt out. And at some point in the most extreme situations, we can find the cup empty because of situations. But let me suggest this. If I were to jump into a lake with this cup, no matter how bad the winds were, no matter how bad the storms were, the cup would always be full, because I have immersed my life into happiness, into a source of life, into the source of happiness. And what the psalmist is saying is that there will be stability in your life if you plant yourself where God is. Always planting yourself in a place where there's the ability for you to be full by Him, not by the things of life. Allowing Him to constantly fill you up. True happiness comes when we place ourselves in a spot where there's fruit from our lives and where we are so close to the water source that it's never empty regardless of the situations. You see, friends, it doesn't matter if it's COVID-19, doesn't matter if it's cancer, doesn't matter if it's the big bill, doesn't matter if it's the conflict in your family, if your life source is God, if you've planted your cup in the big river known as God, if you've put yourself in a place where you are connected to the greatest source of life, you will experience happiness regardless of the circumstances. Pursue places where stability and fruit are guaranteed. I want to conclude by reading you a quote by a social psychologist named Daniel Gilbert. He once said, "The good news is that going blind is not going to make you as unhappy as you think. The bad news is that winning the lottery will not make you as happy as you expect." You see, friends, happy living is never achieved by what life brings your way, but by choosing a God-centered life. You want to be happy? You want to live a happy life? Follow the right people, people who will direct you towards the things that God has for your life. 95% of your decisions will be determined by the people who you spend the most amount of time with. So find people who will direct you and propel you into the God things. Find people who are hungry for God. Find people who want to give their life and use their life for the things of Jesus. Find people who are positive people, not people who complain all the time. Find the right people. You want to have a happy life? Focus on the right words. Don't just get the little text and go, okay, that was really nice, and then move on to the negative messages that are all around you and the words of the enemy. No, get into this thing. Meditate on it. Think about it in the morning. Think about it during the daytime. Memorize it. Get into it at nighttime. Every time the enemy is trying to hit you with the negative, get deep into the words. Focus on the right words. And friends, pursue the right objectives. Pursue objectives that will get you to a place where fruit comes out of your life for other people. Meaning comes from your life. And find yourself, put yourself, plant yourself where you know that when the storms come, that you will be completely stable. The places where God is, that no matter what comes your way, the outcome's still there. I'm still standing. No matter what comes my way, I'm still standing. Find yourself pursuing the right outcomes. I want you to have a happy life. And Psalm chapter 1 helps us get the foundations of this right. So let me pray for you today. God, I pray today that you would be with my friends. Let them not be duped by the world going after things that don't produce happiness. But let them follow the right people. Let them focus on the right words. And God, let them pursue the right objectives. Let their life be so God-centered. And if they've gotten off track, I pray today would be the day where they would choose to do these three things. Help them to find true happiness so that they might produce happiness wherever they go. Bless my friends today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.